Well, it's an Eagles-Pats Super Bowl, but first we got to talk the NFC-AFC Conference Championship games here on NFL Weekly, so stay tuned.
You're tuning into the destination for TV superfan discussion, AfterBuzz TV. And now, let the buzz begin. Oh.
I'm happy for you, Steve. I'm happy for you, Steve.
It's a great song.
I'm not happy for him. he's just basking this in right now. Back to like the NFC East show because it's all of just us on the outskirts and him just going to the Super Bowl. And us, well,
sums
definitely
up the entire season.
Me hating it.
Yeah.
I'm livid right now.
I will say that out of all Eagles fans that I know, Steve is the classiest.
I know it's hard to come in here and hate on the Eagles to you. But if we gave like the rest of the link or the fan base in here, then that would be easier.
Can we just argue that a human is really smart? Humans or humanity can be kind of dumb. I think there's a level of that in every fandom.
Humans and dog masks.
But there's a certain level to it in the Eagles fan base, let's be honest.
They had to put Crisco on polls. That says everything.
Yes, that does say everything.
I'm not going to defend whatever you're bringing up. But I will say the Eagles fan base is one of the most passionate fan bases in the world.
Passion's
a great word. Yeah,
passion, definitely not subtle, but we'll get into everything. This is the NFL Weekly Show on AfterBuzz TV. We got the conference championship games this weekend. We're going to break them down. My name is Jenna Bussier. You can find me on Twitter at Jenna_Bussier.
I'm Josh Rodriguez. You can follow me on Twitter and Instagram at Josh_Rodriguez_, and you can see how much I'm dreading the Super Bowl.
And I'm Steve Kopp, and you can find me on Twitter almost exclusively. I am the resident AfterBuzz TV Eagles fan and at Steve Kaufman. That is KAUFMANN.
And I'm D'Angelo. You can hit me up on Twitter at D'Angelo TV or on Instagram at D'Angelo. Actually, Jenna, I wanted you to know.
Oh, yeah, you had a curveball for me.
I have something for you.
What do you have to say?
I thought this was really fascinating. You would love to know this.
I'm not sure that I would.
In the past,
based off your tone.
In the past 7 to 8 years, the Cowboys are the only one seed to not make the Super Bowl.
Oh, wow. Yeah. Really?
So I really enjoyed sharing that with you.
I should hate you for that, but I get that.
Yeah.
I feel like being a Cowboys fan, I know, and that just sounds like that would be true to me. I'm not surprised by that at all.
Very, very mediocre franchise for the past 8 years.
Ooh.
Sorry, let's do it.
I guess we should be talking about
the AFC NFC Championship games, and
you know
we're just taking
shots. I'm trying to leave the Cowboys season in the past. We're now going on to the Super Bowl, and we have this conference championship games this weekend, but we're somehow finding a way to talk about the Cowboys. I know, trust me, I'm disappointed enough.
Thank you,
thank you for that. Thanks so much.
I'll lay off it.
So we had Jags, Pats as the first game, Vikings, Eagles, obviously, as the second one. So let's do a quick weekend roundup then. What are your first initial thoughts coming off these games? What were you surprised by? What do you think?
I thought the Vikings were going to win. I'm very surprised the way the Eagles won. Not the fact that the Eagles won, the way they won surprised me.
I don't think anyone thought this would be a blowout, including the Philadelphia Eagles. Like, as fired up as I thought they were, I don't think they were expecting to go up against the best defense in the league and just wreck them.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
Wreck them like Wreck-It Ralph.
Yeah. And then the Jaguars-Patriots, I had a feeling that would be a competitive game. I thought the Jaguars could actually win that game. But, you know, Brady going Brady.
Seriously, the Jags were in it. That was sad for me to see them have the lead. It was 20-10. They were up by 10 going early in the fourth quarter. So you had to know that the Pats were going to come back from that. Like, they were not going to let that go.
Also, we're officially at a point where we can say the Jaguars have a lead-blowing problem. Like, last week they blew a lead to the Steelers and then eventually came back and won. We have to admit this now, that the Jaguars have a problem with getting the lead and not keeping the lead.
I mean, they're a young team. They don't have the experience that the Steelers and the Patriots have, so they're fighting hard against
these teams. I would say
those
are the two best teams in the NFL that they played back-to-back.
The fact that they even had leads on those two
teams seems pretty incredible. That's what we should be focusing on.
But it's positive stuff here.
But it's also a lack of confidence in Blake Bortles. I mean, they got out what, 10 points? It was 20 to 10. I think they just decided, all right, let's just run out the clock. Let's hold on to it. They're not aggressive with their play calling because of their lack of faith in Blake Bortles, who actually played decently throughout the playoffs. I just think it's something to do with that. If they had a different quarterback, you know, maybe they're not running the ball as much. Maybe they're taking
Bortles
more shots.
But Bortles is their guy. It's not the Jacksonville Jaguars without Blake Bortles. It's not his fault.
I mean, I think he played well, but at the same time, you can tell that their play calling is very limited. Yeah. The Patriots stopped the run today. I think Leonard Fournette averaged like 3 yards a carry off the top of my head. And the second half, they just kind of got conservative, and it's because they didn't want Blake Bortles throwing that pick six to change the game. And it kind of bit him at the end. And
they started off so hot that we're seeing here. They had the opening first half touchdown really good. Yeah. drive.
Yeah. I mean, Blake Bortles did play really well.
He played well. Yeah. He played well.
He did.
But he was good. He's played a lot better than people have given credit for.
And can we talk about this Cory Grant guy? I really like this move by Jacksonville pulling out kind of a secret weapon, because obviously the Pats knew they had to stop the run. If they stopped the run, rely on Bortles, not going to be a good day for Jacksonville. But the fact that they whipped out this random Cory Grant, who's only had like 60 attempts in his entire career the past 3 years or something, for him, he played very well and ran it. Like, me and my friends were looking around, who is this guy? And then also the Lewis touchdown just felt like we hadn't seen a lot from him this postseason. Yeah. So they were kind of pulling out the secret weapons because they knew they had to match Belichick studying and all of his Excel spreadsheets of research on the Jacksonville Jaguars.
I should point out that up until probably mid-December, every week we would talk about Eli Manning. And every week I would talk about he's gone to Jacksonville.
Yeah.
He's gone to Jacksonville.
I don't know if he is anymore.
I'm pretty sure Bortles is the guy.
Yeah.
And they need to get on board with Bortles being the guy.
He's not the guy. Because he did play a good game, but he still had an opportunity to win the game. And they did not drive down the field to win that football game.
But he did move the
football. And that's
where
you need the quarterback. You need in those games, in those situations, we're talking about getting to a Super Bowl. You got to have a guy where you're not scared that he can't deliver in that moment.
But Bortles didn't play bad, though. He did move the football downfield. He actually, that fourth down attempt wasn't a bad play. It was just
I'm not saying that he played above average football, which is good.
Right.
Good for a Jaguars team, but now they have Super Bowl aspirations. And if they have Super Bowl aspirations, he's not the guy to do that.
But just to refute that point, they were in the AFC Championship game in New England with a lead in the fourth
and
quarter.
And what's the reason they didn't get over the hump?
Because they were
scared of Blake Bortles not delivering.
Is that Blake Bortles' problem or their problem? That's what they need to reassess. And they also need to understand that they could, in the offseason, if they decide they want to replace Blake Bortles, throw the baby out with the bathwater.
What are these analogies, Steve?
You could ruin the whole team that got you this far by getting rid of Blake Bortles, the guy you're unsure about. Maybe you just need to get sure about him. Maybe that's the only problem.
He's been there for five to six years.
We know who he is. You know what I mean? Like, what's
we know who he is. I don't think he would have been as big a risk as we're all claiming he was. It was the coaching staff that didn't want to, like, whoever's playing the calls. Whoever's making the calls is deciding, I don't want to put Blake in a position to make a mistake.
Because they've seen him for
five, six years, he's still not like a deep passer.
He's the same quarterback.
He's still running
they
for
changed
a lot of
the
first
game
downs.
Plan. He hasn't changed as a quarterback. He's the same guy. The game plan changed. We're going to limit your opportunities for mistakes, which is fine. I think that is as good as it's going to get with Blake Bortles.
Interesting.
And that, like, they have an uber-talented team. In fact, the only thing that they can improve is the quarterback position.
It's true. And they're missing Allen Robinson, too, which, like, I was thinking that they're in their
game.
They didn't even have Allen Robinson.
And they got this
they
far.
They didn't have Allen Robinson. I know. I was thinking how much of a difference that was going to make in this game. But as we were on this Bortles subject, I mean, him and Brady's numbers this game were extremely comparable, almost identical.
Yep.
293 yards for Bortles, 290 for Brady, 2 touchdowns for Brady, 1 for Bortles, no picks for either of them. Both were sacked 3 times. I mean, that's not necessarily on them. It's interesting when you put it that way, you know, that they both had very similar games.
And I think we've mentioned that this is a young team, and I think this is where it comes into play. And Black Jones in the chat, if I was the Jags, at the very least, keep the time moving on those second and third down and completions that stop time for New England and give Brady more time. There was a lack of time management when they had the lead.
I was shocked by how many times the Patriots had to punt. Times that they just didn't convert on third down,
Check down. They on a few third downs. Three or four third downs, it's check down 2 yards to Deion Lewis. Check down 3 yards to Deion Lewis. Like, Brady did not take shots. And honestly, he was patient all game. I think that speaks to Brady. I mean, he didn't force anything. He didn't try anything downfield. He didn't force anything.
Well, it speaks to that Jaguar.
But Amendola, who we just saw, was the dude today.
Oh, God.
Amendola, playoff Amendola, had the game of his life.
That was huge.
The two touchdowns, he had both the fourth quarter touchdowns that gave them the lead and solidified the win. No Gronk went out. That's a great point. I mean, that could have completely made the game different. Yeah. Let's also talk about the penalties in this game and the officiating. So the Patriots only scored the touchdown in the first half because of a pass interference call and an unnecessary reference that got them down the field, got them in field goal range. I thought the calls were kind of shady. I wasn't sure about them, and that was kind of the reason why they even scored and closed the gap in the first half.
Bill Belichick paid the refs.
Not, not like we were talking about this briefly. That like anyone who thinks that there's a cult of anyone who thinks there's some type of vast conspiracy in favor of the New England Patriots, I like to entertain these crazy conspiracy theories. Mm-hmm. But let's be real. Like, the games aren't rigged. The games are still being played fairly legit. But some rules are written in a way
favoritism. Brady is the NFL's favorite child, is the ref's favorite kid.
But it's not like that play to play. I'm saying that, like, pass interference in the past 15 years has become a more common call that would side on the way of a quarterback like Tom Brady. And, like, like, roughing the passer is another one that it sides on. Like, if you're a quarterback like Michael Vick or Donovan McNabb, who's mobile, like, roughing the passer doesn't affect you as much as it does if you're Tom Brady, who never gets out of that pocket. Like, that's how the rules are written. Like, that exists.
Yep.
And that's kind of how I feel when I watch penalties like this, where I'm like, that's the game. That's the game. If you're Jacksonville, you need to be prepared to play the game.
I agree. I mean, it's part of the game. Refs going to blow calls, and it was huge, but there were plenty of other opportunities for the Jaguars to win this football game.
They kind of beat themselves to a certain extent.
Jacksonville,
here.
6 penalties for 98 yards. New England, 1 penalty for 10 yards. That's
pretty
it.
Like, egregious, though.
That is insane.
Yeah.
I mean, what penalties are they going to get, though? I mean, they're not taking shots downfield. Jacksonville's not really taking shots downfield. So you're not going to get pass interference calls. A lot of their plays are like slants or like, you know, out routes. And then on top of that, they're running the football with Leonard Fournette. So, you know, what penalties are going to be called? I think New England is a disciplined team to begin with anyway.
Yeah.
They're one of the most disciplined teams in the league anyway. So
I'd say in sports.
There wasn't a play where I was like, oh, that's a penalty on the Patriots, or I would like to say that there was, but there wasn't. I mean, looking back at the game, there wasn't anything where I was like, they got away with one there.
I think the pass interference that Jacksonville had, A.J. Poye on Brandon Cooks, was ridiculous. That was not a catchable ball at all. It was probably like 15 yards to his right. There was no way he was going to catch the ball, and he was already tiptoeing out of bounds. All Poye did was just kind of like push him out of bounds, like make sure he was out of bounds. But that was not interference at all, and that was the biggest one that led to the Patriots touchdown in the first half.
I agree.
And I was kind of like, that would be a completely different game. It'd be
no, it would be. You're right.
14-3 at half, which at the same time maybe would have pissed the Pats off a little bit more that this game they would have come out and just demolished them like they did the Titans. Exactly, like wake the beast a little bit.
I don't know. I think that play in particular was interesting because I think it's the whole verbiage of you have to play the football is weird because what does that mean if the ball is kind of uncatchable? You should still
There's no penalty if it's uncatchable.
Yeah, it has to be a catchable ball. That's interference. Yeah.
That's weird. How do you determine what's an uncatchable ball versus catchable ball?
You can tell.
It was literally like 10 to 15. Yeah, the ball was not near him. Not near him at all. If it's like in your hands and then there was, you know, the cornerback does something absolutely ridiculous, knocks you on your back, it doesn't make you not be able to catch the ball, then that's different. I mean, also with Gronk going out, I thought that it was actually insane that Gronk went out and stayed out with the concussion protocol. I feel like, how is Rob Gronkowski not going to try to get himself back in this game?
That's why.
If he has a concussion,
and
he has a concussion.
Somebody tweeted something so funny, like, how do you even test Rob Gronkowski for a concussion? Like, how do you even put in your concussion protocol?
Like,
dang, that's
I saw a tweet. It was like, Rob, how many fingers am I holding up? And then it says, Rob Gronkowski says 69. He's like, okay, he's good.
Okay, perfect. Yeah, he's good to go back in.
I think... That is the positive thing about the protocol. It's like, how do you bench Rob Gronkowski? You make a protocol for every player.
Yeah.
That it doesn't matter if they're Tom Brady, Rob Gronkowski, or like Jake Elliott. If you get hit helmet to helmet and you get up wobbly, you have to go and go through a concussion test. And you either have to be really, really good at fooling a concussion test.
Yeah.
Or you have a concussion.
It seemed like they played him pretty well, too. I mean, to that point. Obviously, it was two halves to it, but it seemed like they had a really good game plan for him.
Oh, I'm so disappointed. Question. I thought Jags were going to do it, man.
Me, too. I wanted
to. I really wanted to see the Jags 20-24,
that's honestly almost a win for Jacksonville. Like, there's not no really moral, mental wins, but at the same time, AFC Championship game, Jacksonville against the Patriots. Never thought it was going to be that tight, probably.
Yeah. I have a question for you guys. All right, so the Patriots had 3rd and 9. Jaguars had one timeout left, and then Deion Lewis gets, like, what, whatever, 15 yards and seals the game, which shocked the hell out of me because I figured the Jaguars are going to stop him and get the ball back.
Yeah, I'm 3rd and long.
Jaguars get the ball back. Do they win?
Probably not, because they had an opportunity. I don't think Blake Bortles is going to drive down the field and win a football
game. But it only comes down to that one. I mean, I know that there's been several opportunities, but it could be that's one more play, one more shot that they could have took advantage of, you know?
I wanted to see it. I wanted to see
like, how many times did the Vikings and Keenum have it against the Saints, but it took that one that Stephon Diggs had that breakout play with 4 seconds left, you know?
Good point.
It only takes one sometimes.
That's true.
Hashtag sports.
It would have been dark. I feel like that would have been one of the biggest upsets.
Oh, I would have loved it.
Oh, it would have absolutely been.
Yeah.
Like, that was the exciting game today.
Yeah, it definitely was a more competitive
the
game.
The widespread, exciting, competitive football game.
Still always having a dog in the fight. Always thinking that the Jags are going to still get that shot.
I was really rooting for the Jaguars.
Everybody
I think
was.
Everybody and was. The,
and
mean,
also,
how
there's
many Super Bowls.
I alluded to it last week, and I can't say much because it is spoilery. But there's a show on NBC called The Good Place that they've written into the. They've written
you
into
love
the
this show.
They've written second straight.
One of the main characters in the show is a huge fan of the Jacksonville Jaguars.
Oh yes, yes, yes
that's
yes,
right.
And like they make. I don't want to say too much about the show, because it's very spoilery beyond that, but they make it very clear that they're in the afterlife, and in the afterlife, the Jaguars are considered stupid.
Huh?
There was a whole scene in the show recently that was...
That's so random.
Where he was in the afterlife, and he's like, did the Jacksonville Jaguars win the Super Bowl? And he was like, no. No, not at all.
Oh, well, that makes more sense.
But, like, it was... But,
that's
like,
not... That's
but,
now.
But it kept getting...
Exactly.
But it
like,
kept
laughable.
Getting,
yes, that's a better word.
No, but it was... They had an episode...
Stupid. I'm like, what do you mean stupid?
They had an episode 2 weeks ago where they were laughing at that same character for thinking the Jacksonville Jaguars were any good. And, like, this was... I think this is the most recent episode, and we're like, yo, they're like going to the AFC Championship game, and you're throwing shade on your show that you wrote months ago.
Yeah.
Kind of a thing. And like my favorite line from the show, not to talk about another show on a show about shows, but but he was just like, man, I don't know what the big deal is. Nice. They just need an offense and a defense and some rule changes. It was a really good line. And
some refs in their favor.
I wanted the Jacksonville Jaguars to win and go to the Super Bowl, if for nothing else, then NBC has the Super Bowl.
Yeah.
And you're guaranteed to see that character in some context. And I guarantee you they wrote the script to happen that way. To happen that way. Like, I guarantee they wrote that between last week and this week.
So I guess to wrap it up then, was anybody really surprised that the Patriots came out on top of this
one? Just hope they lost.
Yeah. I think it was all just everyone's
But it was
heart.
A great game, and I think everyone enjoyed
it. Well, I think halftime. Like, if you had told me at halftime the Patriots would make it out, no, I guess even then it's.
No,
it was only 14-10.
Yeah, they came back from way worse, 28-3. I was actually surprised at how happy Bill Belichick was after, like how much emotion
they could have actually lost.
Yeah, like,
I know,
or
but
Gronk.
He still
that's a
always
great football
so
team.
Poker face and so stern looking. Like for him to celebrate, hug Patricia was the most awkward thing to watch.
that was crazy.
It looks like we don't really want to hug, but we're kind of hugging now. Let's jump up and down.
I would say there was a point in the third quarter with the Gronk injury, and they were up 2 scores, that I was genuinely on the Jacksonville
train. Right,
I was
go.
On the Jacksonville train where I was like, I think that's it. I think they're punching their ticket, and we're going to have an Eagles-Jacksonville one of these.
You are. The Eagles game didn't even happen.
I know. Come on.
What is he going to say, the Vikings? I mean,
yeah, like, of
Eagles.
Course I'm going to say
right.
the Eagles.
Well, you bring it up, so let's move on to the Eagles-Vikings game.
Please let.
I think everybody was shocked by this score, 38-7. At one point, so the Vikings started up, and we'll show they open up the game with the touchdown to Kyle Rudolph, and then the Eagles go on to score, have 5 scores in a row, 38 unanswered points, and this is against the number one defense in
Disgusting.
The NFL. How does this Vikings defense allow 38 points? I was mind-boggled this entire game how this was happening.
Folesadelphia, Wentzylvania.
Oh, Folesadelphia.
Oh, my no, God. Are you kidding me?
Folesadelphia.
I've been saving that.
Was it just Wentzylvania?
Now it's Folesadelphia.
Folesadelphia, which resides in Wentzylvania.
How does Carson Wentz feel like that? It's got to be the most conflicting emotions ever.
Let's be fair. In this moment, he's just happy. The team he's a part of keeps moving forward.
I think he probably feels amazing because he gets a second shot at this. He tried this in 2013 and didn't get past the wild card round.
Foles
is great, yeah. Foles is his whole career is like irony because they traded him away because they didn't think he'd win a Super Bowl.
Versus his starter slash backup at the Rams.
To be fair, his fault.
He honestly just tapped into his inner Carson Wentz in this game to not get sacked on that play, to scramble, get mobility, put up 300 plus yards and 3 touchdowns, and hit 9 different receivers. Like, he found his inner Wentz.
Something else besides his inner Wentz, because I didn't expect that at all.
I didn't expect this either. Yeah. I think we were talking about this last week. We were expecting a close 3-point shootout, no defense, a lot of just points, nail biting. This was not what anyone expected.
No, not at all.
And anyone who wasn't a Vikings fan or an Eagles fan probably hated this game because it's not an entertaining
game.
Entertaining game to watch.
Being a Cowboys fan made me hate this game even more than probably being a third party viewer. There watching the Eagles run through the Vikings, who I was so confident in, not the game I was looking for at all.
Dude, this game changed.
I was about to shut it off fourth quarter. I'm out.
That first quarter pick six was everything.
When the Vikings came, the first possession of the game, they marched right down the field, scored a touchdown. This is the Minnesota team I thought was going to show up.
They get the ball back. I was in a place because I was invited to go somewhere pretty close to my house to watch this game, and I had made a cognizant choice to I don't know, don't expect me, don't save me a seat.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Mainly because I didn't want to be in public if this game was going to be even close.
I have that feeling all too often.
Watching that game at home. So I was also very happy to see us go up 2 scores by halftime and be like, well, let's go out. When these first 3 drives, let's say, both sides, so a touchdown, a three and out,
mm-hmm.
right up until the pick six, it was a completely different game.
It was
the game we all thought it would be, where it would be Minnesota would trounce us and we would have to really, really try to put up some type of defense to maybe keep the score close enough that we can eke it out by the end.
It's amazing what that pick six did. And then also that fumble.
That fumble was the game.
Pick six was a 50-yard return, and then the fumble also. We played it already. Because I feel like that was the theme for the Vikings this entire game. They would get into field goal range. They would get into goal range.
It just wasn't their day.
Yes, it would be third down. Yeah. There'd be a fumble. They wouldn't convert. They tried on that fourth down. Nothing. They wouldn't get any points off it or maybe have to settle for a field goal. They were getting down the field and then not doing it when it mattered.
It's a very Vikings conclusion to that. to have a great divisional round win like that and just to cancel out with that. Isn't that sad? The whole Case Keenum story,
the fact that the Super Bowl is being played in Minnesota, it was too good to be true for Minnesota to go, too. It would be too good for us. We didn't deserve it.
But can we also give the Eagles some credit?
Hell yeah, but specifically the Eagles.
You get no credit.
Foles was, the defense changed that game.
Honestly, the Eagles defense changed the game. I'm saying specifically the credit
that they've been well prepared for the Minnesota Vikings for 10 weeks.
Yeah.
I'm glad you bring that up because this doesn't make any sense. We obviously know every NFL team prepares for every game, especially this being a conference championship game. It didn't look like Minnesota was ready at all.
No.
How are you not ready for JJ? To stop the run. I don't know where their focus was. Their defense looked so unprepared to me.
I don't know what it was. I think the pick six changed everything. It was like a punch in the mouth. If you're a boxer, you get punched in the mouth and you just kind of...
Yeah, I just didn't see the fight back.
Exactly.
I was surprised. Even in the second half, when the second half started, I was like, okay, they should get some couple scores. I feel like they were done. That was it.
Yeah. Also, Lincoln Financial Field.
Mentally.
Lincoln Financial Field, these passionate Eagles fans,
it's big.
Because they came in and silenced us, but that pick six changed everything. And there were journalists tweeting from the Lincoln Financial Field saying, guys, the building is moving.
Yeah.
They're loud.
I mean, you saw all of those fans in their dog masks. already had, see you in the Super Bowl Patriots signs already. I was envious of those fans being in that position. That stadium looked like so much fun today.
Yeah, to me, it was more. It was less about X's and O's today, and it was more just about the Vikings got punched in the mouth and just did not know how to respond. Back,
they got punched in the mouth, disoriented. It's a loud stadium. Things just kept going wrong. Quicksand-wise, one thing went wrong. And
okay,
another
let's
thing went
show
wrong,
this. And then we're just, first. Oh God. Drive of the second half.
Are you kidding me right now?
Like, also,
stop it. That's not supposed to happen.
A flea flicker to Torrey Smith, and this was also the weekend of flickers. What was it with this conference championship weekend?
Every
single game had a flea flicker in it. What is that? Why?
I love it.
Oh, they was picking on Trey Wayne, too.
This is up, the Vikings secondary... It was played just, like trash. Today.
No one played good. Nobody played good today.
Secondary. I
didn't hear Xavier Rhodes' name,
so
I'm guessing he had a good game. I think that means y'all didn't throw in his director or something.
Foles was incredible today. The defense. It was just like I said. I mean, sometimes you just have to throw X's and O's out the window. And I just think that pick six. I know I keep saying it, but that pick six like heart. Just turned the game on its head.
Like in a replacement.
And we were
miles and miles of heart.
Yeah.
And we were just so prepared for them.
Yeah.
In a way that Carson Wentz going down didn't affect it. Didn't affect our defense preparing for the Minnesota Vikings every week.
Yeah.
Because we had known we were probably going to be the one seed. They were probably going to be the two seed. So we had prepared for the Minnesota Vikings, so much so that I was more worried last week that the Saints could win.
Right, I know you said that.
Because we weren't necessarily ready for the Saints.
That would have been a better game.
I was worried last week because we weren't necessarily prepared for the Falcons.
The game was trash.
Yeah, and I'm not saying, when I make that X's and O's comment, I'm not saying, don't give credit.
But you're saying, momentum.
They wouldn't be in this position.
They were getting pressure on Case. I mean, the Eagles' defense was unbelievable. And I think we talk about the Eagles' defense because we had an NFC East show being really good, but I feel like they don't get enough national attention. They're one of the better defenses in the league, and they showed it today. Yeah. And they forced two turnovers. And even when they weren't forcing turnovers, they were forcing Case to check down to Jared McKinnon. You know, they get 2 yards. They didn't really do much, and
We'll see how good they really
against
are.
The
Vikings offense and the Pats offense, or any other offense you play.
A little different. Brady Keenum on the scale, pretty similar guys. Yeah. I mean... Brady's been
Keenum referees.
This will be his tenth appearance. Keenum's
never
been one.
Same exact thing. Well, so we'll see how. I don't want to. I'm not going to give him all that right now.
I feel like Foles was like a stone cold killer tonight. Like he just the confidence, but he also never looked like he was letting up. Like every game face was the same, no matter how much they were up by.
Well, being
still
up two,
like all,
but like being up two scores is pretty. Being up two scores is pretty helpful to do that.
Yeah,
you can feel like you can feel like a stone cold killer if it's like if worst case scenario it's a pick six, I'm still up a score.
His presence and his mentality.
That pick six was huge, though.
Oh, that pick six was everything.
Huge.
And the fumble, too. The defense are the two biggest plays of the game. And I know Foles had a great game, and there's a lot of highlights that we just showed Foles balling out. But the two biggest plays of the game were definitely for the defense.
When the defense just put the whole team on.
Because the Vikings score a touchdown there, make it 14-14, who knows how the game shows up. Because I fully believe that this game was all about momentum. Lincoln Financial Field was rocking.
Seriously.
I don't know. And sometimes that's just the way it is, home field advantage. And I never saying this to you, the Eagles need to get the one seed. Like, they have to get the one seed. Because if that game was in Minnesota, I don't think that happens at all.
I agree.
It's vice versa.
Yeah, but if that game was in Minnesota and the pick six happened, I don't think they get as rocked. I don't think they don't feel as uncomfortable. They don't feel as off balance. Exactly. They're still at home. They're still in a safe place. They didn't have to fly anywhere. I'm with you momentum-wise.
If it's in Minnesota and they're hearing Skull instead of Foles, how dirty is that of the Eagles fans, too?
I think that's hilarious.
The Vikings fans ran up the
Rocky steps, too, so it's even.
Yeah. Vikings fans
are douchey a little bit, too.
So. Even though Philly fans were chucking beers at Viking fans' heads on the way to the stadium.
Philly,
yes,
it's
exactly.
Lincoln. It's like you consented once you walked
that
in.
That is pretty sick.
There's a level
if that was my team.
There's a level of hostility you're owning up to at Lincoln Financial Field.
If that was my team, I would love the Skull to Foles chance, but since I'm obviously a Cowboys fan, it's like, oh, man.
You'll need a Foles
come
game
on,
like
man.
This to win the
doing
Super Bowl.
Him so dirty. And as Doug Peterson said, we're going to the stinking Super Bowl. How corny.
Oh, Doug.
Great coach, though.
Oh, Doug. Great coach. Wow. Yeah.
That's the kind of
coach of the year, probably?
Yeah, definitely.
I would think so.
What was your record last year? 7-9?
Not winning.
Started off almost 5-0 or something.
Yeah, we had an incredible run last year, early run last year. But coach of the you would think
Marone.
I think they've already voted for it, but I think it might be Sean McVay. But now
that would be great too, first year coach.
But you would you would think, similar to how the Academy Award for Best Director should go to the best directed film, not necessarily the best film, you would think Coach of the Year should go to the coach who held a team together like this. Mm-hmm. So holding a team together since this Rams game to still be going to the Super Bowl, like, that's an incredible feat.
Agreed.
And an incredibly built thing that can maintain.
I agree.
I still cannot believe you guys are going to the Super Bowl. I really can't. I cannot believe this Vikings game went the way that it did.
This did convince me that Carson Wentz should not have won MVP, though. Sorry.
Oh, right, because they did it without him. I mean, and put up 38 points without him.
You're longer MVP in that. I mean, you're great quarterback, but you're not MVP anymore.
That's fair.
Yeah.
But...
because Tom Brady without the Patriots with no Tom Brady.
I don't know.
They had Jimmy G. This team is not
bad. They had Jimmy G. Who knows?
I don't know. He didn't look damn good.
Brady missed the whole season. The Patriots went 11-5. And then he missed four games last year. They went 3-1. Just saying.
Okay.
I'm just saying. Okay. Don't get me started on Tom Brady.
I mean, Tom Brady is like NFL God level. You cannot talk about
Hall of Famer.
You just really, it's one of those guys that's undebatable. Like, you really can't say anything bad about
him. If we go into this, though, I mean, the 3-1, I'm sorry, that 3-1 thing, they play trash teams, firstly. Matt Castle year, he had Randy Moss. I mean, we could Tom Brady, and they missed the playoffs.
Well, they're like one of the few teams in history.
And the next year, he came back with the same team, and they went undefeated until they played the Giants.
The Super Bowl.
So, all right. Yeah, so, twice. Again,
Giants
Tom Brady's the GOAT.
He's not the GOAT.
So, speaking of Tom Brady, the GOAT, we got to talk about the Super Bowl.
Yeah.
Yes, we're getting into the Super Bowl. Let's talk about it. Pats, Eagles, unsuspecting Super Bowl. Will be the third time the Eagles are going. They're 0-2 in Super Bowls. This will be the 10th appearance for the Patriots. They are 5-4, I believe. Yes, because they have five wins. So that makes sense.
Well,
5-4.
The New England Patriots are defending world champions.
Yep.
That's
yeah.
I meant to look up the stat and I didn't have enough time, but that has to be rare to begin with.
Well,
to be a defending world champion.
This is their third trip in four seasons, also. Yeah. They have just a different level of dynasty than the Patriots, you know?
Tom Brady's been there eight times, which is as many times as the Steelers have been there. And the Steelers have been there the most.
In history. That's insane.
So, it's disgusting.
It's very remarkable. It's unbelievable. I'm sorry that you have to play the Patriots again in your Super Bowl appearance.
Right. Which, as we know, they met in 2004. And
you should call T.O.
Beat the Eagles. I think he's been trying to get back in, right? He's been trying to get out of retirement. Yeah.
I mean,
he was on the...
he was also cut from an arena football team. So let's maybe not call T.O.
I feel like T.O. could come in hot and be like a Josh Gordon and still
really
look
could.
Like he doesn't miss a beat. I really think so.
I do too.
Sure, he can
for
do
one
that.
Game?
He could do that for...
I feel like he might not be needed, though. Like
he isn't.
Foles threw to nine different receivers. You guys have so many... weapons, so many between your run game and your receiving unit, your tight ends. Like, everybody is skilled.
I'm excited for this game. I'm excited because Super Bowls in general are like Super Bowls in general just have that air about them that they there's a rumble for the next 14 days. There's just going to be this huge buzz heading into one football game. There's going to be so much excitement.
Never
so to
it.
Have
it's good. I'm happy for you.
Thank
God,
the amount of
thank
beers
you. And
I'm going to drink. I'm so 04, excited.
04, I did feel it. Like, I've had one.
Yeah. So while you're saying you're excited, what is your confidence level? Because this is the Patriots we're talking
out of 10?
About. We know their resume.
Out of 10.
Sure,
seven.
However you want to rank it.
Wow. Really?
Okay. What are you banking that on?
Right.
I think the Patriots have been relatively untested. And when they were tested, we saw today with Jacksonville, they can pull out the W, but they won't look good every play. Hmm. Like, they're a rocky team. No pun intended, but like they're an uneven team, and there are weaknesses to exploit that
definitely
find, and they're a beatable team. That is, there have been New England Patriots teams that looked unbeatable at this point. This is not one of those teams.
I agree
with you.
Do you think that your offense and Foles, I guess specifically, is going to have the same kind of game that they just had tonight?
No, I think today's game was
really
in a postseason context was a literal anomaly.
But don't you think they're going to need it? They're going to have to play score to score.
But it could be but like, are you saying our offense gives up that output, but our defense might give up that many points and it'd be a shootout? I could see that.
Okay.
But I mean,
Foles having another like 300-plus yard game against the Patriots. I mean, it's hard to do that for him.
Seen enough from Foles this year to really have felt that today was possible.
Yeah, that's true. You don't necessarily need 300 yards to beat the Patriots. I mean, the defense,
It's all about that defense and that D-line.
It is about the defense. And Foles just has to play well. He just doesn't blow the game. I mean, listen, the Jags almost beat the Patriots in New England with Blake Bortles as their quarterback not doing too much.
Yeah.
So it is possible to do it. I mean, I'm a Giants fan. I saw Eli Manning beat the Patriots twice in the Super Bowl. And I'm not saying that to
pull
brag.
Out all the tricks.
But just
throwing
like
some helmet catches.
Like Eli Manning beat.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? So there's ways twice. To do it. Yeah. The defense has to get to Tom Brady. I think the Eagles are capable of doing that. I think I'd feel a lot more comfortable if Wentz was quarterback. I think I would outright say the Eagles are beating the Patriots if Wentz was quarterback. Right now, I don't know.
But this game proved that Foles can – like, he has the potential to do
it.
He's capable. I mean, that Vikings
– I'm not
– I take the Vikings defense over the Pats defense.
If you ran it – if you ran the game five times, Foles would win at least five of those times. Just on pure math.
You mean 10 times.
Sorry, yes. Sorry. If you ran the game 10
– I was like, what?
If you ran the game 10 times, at minimum, Foles would win that game five times.
You mean that game as in the Vikings game?
No, the Super Bowl. If you ran the Super Bowl 10 times, if you ran a simulation.
You think so, really?
Yeah. I think he's that – I think he proved today that he's that good. You need to win 8 or 9 times in that simulation to be considered
– the favorite. So you're saying they're even.
I'm saying they're fairly – I think they're fairly even, and – anyone who's favoring the Patriots,
they're not even.
Anyone who's favoring the Patriots is basing it on previous year stats, and this isn't the same New England Patriots.
It's so hard to go against the Pats, though. It's so hard to rule them out ever. I mean, 28-3 last year.
Hey, sportsbooks, give me 3-1. I will give you money.
We obviously know who Steve is taking, rightfully so. So let's hear from you two what your picks are. Then
you know, I'm trying to find a way to logically pick the Eagles. I think they can win. I'd feel so much more comfortable if Wentz was starting, because I think that with Wentz playing, I'd feel more comfortable at the quarterback position. I think they'd be able to put up points against the Patriots defense, because I don't think the Patriots defense is that good.
What is the NFL's position on the quarterback having a cane?
Carson.
Wentz would do it. I mean, you saw him rocking that cane out there tonight.
He was on a
crutch
last week, and he's on a cane this week. Like,
he's making moves. Yeah. Like, you know, he's trying to heal quickly. He's like, how quickly can we make this happen? Like, whatever drugs you got, whatever robo knee you have to make.
I'm being glib. I don't want to see him in there at all.
Yeah, my gut reaction is Patriots. I
really
hate to say it.
Because you want the Eagles to win.
Everybody
here wants Eagles.
I want them.
You want them. I still do not want them.
I hope they tie, and then they have to cancel.
Haters going to hate.
Haters going to hate, and I'm going to hate. Yeah. So,
you mean
say it, but I know.
Well, they go to overtime forever, though, right?
Yeah,
and it's sudden death forever.
Yeah, but I mean, in this scenario, that's a fantasy in my head. I would
of
like
course.
For them to.
You would just like them to go sudden death
forever.
For
yeah,
just sudden death for so
just
long.
Like, oh,
that they
guys, I'm tired. I gotta go home. You know, tie. Oh, no one wins. Oh, okay.
Super Bowl 53 just never ends until they finally all are too old to play anymore, and then it's just the last team that scores.
That'd be pretty legendary.
Before they drop.
But then how would we do an after show? Is the question.
Until we're all old.
Would we just cover it live as alternative audio?
It's
just
like I, the paths.
I mean, listen,
this conversation,
this is subject to change, because I really do think the Eagles have a chance. It's just my gut is telling me Pats, so yeah, I'm gonna say Pats for now.
D'Angelo.
I mean, Nick Foles is the weak link. He, you know, didn't play,
but he can be. He okay, I'm gonna let you
talk.
He is a link.
I'm gonna let you finish.
So, I mean, no, Nick Foles. Yeah. If I had to choose between Blake Bortles and Nick Foles, I'd probably pick Nick Foles, but it's not that much of a difference, which is a problem. And if I had to pick out the weak link, the Eagles defense is good. Tom Brady's on the other side. Yeah. Patriots defense is adequate. You know what I mean? If I had to pick a guy who's not going to do what they usually do, it'd be Nick Foles. And usually, I mean, by what we saw against the Vikings today.
Yeah.
So, I mean, that's why, logically, I have to pick the Pats. But I hope Nick Foles does what he did today.
Yeah.
I agree. I also think that, Nick Foles today kind of creates a target that maybe makes New England focus for the next 2 weeks on the pass that gives us a little more possibility of a run.
Yeah.
We have a run game. We have a run game, and then we have.
They're definitely going to put the ball in Nick Foles' hands.
I agree.
Without a doubt.
I agree, but if the Pats shut him down.
I feel
the Pats
so
shut him down
weird
on two
about,
downs. Like, we'll start giving it to the Ajayi, and
I
he can get 10 yards.
I feel like the Eagles do have a really good
chance.
They have
a chance.
They have proven themselves to be so competitive. Their defense, both sides of the ball, like they can definitely put up points against the Patriots' defense, and they can also prevent the Pats from scoring points. And I think that the defensive line is going to rush Brady. I think they have a great pass rush. They really have a good shot here.
Yeah.
But for some reason, I don't know, this is probably the last time we're going to see this whole coaching staff for the Pats together. And Brady, Belichick, McDaniels. Exactly. Patricia.
Patricia's gone.
I feel like they have something gone. Still. I mean, fighting for they've won 5 of these, getting their 6th, really.
But it just makes
no
sense.
No one wants to kind of see it, but at the same time, I want
to
see it.
But to Steve's point, you know, this is not a typical dominant New England Patriots.
No, this
game.
Is not.
I don't know. I'm rooting.
It's hard. It's so hard.
I can see the Eagles winning it. It's just my gut saying Patriots, and I hope I'm wrong. I really hope I'm wrong.
Mm. Me too.
Sportsbooks have it.
I was about to ask you that.
101-50, the money line. So a hair above 2-1 on the Eagles.
What's the line? Take the points.
Sorry.
If I'm a gambling man, I take the points.
I know. This playoffs has really just solidified the fact that I'm so happy I do not gamble, that I don't bet on sports because I would be so wrong and lose a boatload of money.
Yeah, it's not fun coming from someone who was in Vegas last year and had the Falcons.
Both of these picks I had this weekend I lost.
That was
last weekend
life
I lost.
A friend of mine who lives in Las Vegas missed my call.
Yeah.
Or I would have had he taken my call, he would have given me the live line on the New England Patriots at halftime because I wanted it.
Yeah.
I wanted it partly because I felt the NFL was
great. It was like 3.5.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying.
It was absurd.
I
don't know why I didn't take it. I think I had the Falcons, so I was like, let me just count my winnings. I'm not going to mess around with the second half line and hedge. And yeah.
Well,
all right. Well, we got a week off Pro Bowl. I know we're all so excited. On the edge of my seat, we're thrilled.
Yeah.
We have a good old Pro Bowl to get us through till Super Bowl weekend in Minnesota. But we got Pats, Eagles. Can't believe this matchup. I think
you
three
the
of
Patriots,
us,
right? You the Patriots?
I had the Patriots, yeah, because... You know what? At this point, whatever team I pick doesn't matter anyway. I tried to do the whole reverse universe superstition. Like, I tried to take the Eagles last week, and then the Vikings got demoralized.
Right. and then one quick thing. Eagles aren't home. This is a neutral field now.
I think
Lincoln Financial helped them throughout the playoffs. So I also think that's another factor.
Point.
So
and we'll see what happens.
And not for nothing, Eagles fans travel.
They travel super well.
Real well, so but not when the tickets are $5,000.
Yeah, seriously.
Like, I was just looking at them. I was looking at them a week ago. Like, that's way too much money.
All right, well, we got to wrap it up tonight. Thank you guys so much for joining us. We saw that there was plenty of people in our live chat, and
thanks
we really appreciate that. Thanks for watching. We will see you guys. I believe we're doing a Super Bowl show. Stay posted. can't give you, not on Super Bowl Sunday. I think that's Tuesday. Maybe I shouldn't have said anything because we're not really sure the logistics of that.
Yeah.
Anyway.
Yeah, I'm on Super Bowl Sunday.
Thanks
so.
For tuning in with us the entire season of the NFC East show, as well as now NFL Weekly and all of the playoffs that happened here at AfterBuzz TV. You can find me on Twitter at Jenna_Bussier and our other panelists.
I'm Josh Rodriguez. You can follow me on Twitter and Instagram at Josh_Rodriguez_. Come argue with me. Come like my tweets. Come refute my tweets. It's a good time. Good time on Twitter.
I'm Steve Kaufman. You can find me on Twitter almost exclusively. That's at Steve Kaufman. KAUFMANN. I'm also, this time next week, I will be here covering WWE's Royal Rumble. It is a big deal. I'll be here talking about it.
Nice. Yes, and I'm D'Angelo. You can hit me up on Twitter at D'AngeloTV or on Instagram at D'Angelo. Baker Mayfield, I heart you.
Oh, really?
Baker Mayfield?
You wanted to go to the Skins? That's a possibility.
I'm cool with that.
Whew. That's really? What the rumors are saying.
I'm cool with it.
Oh, wow.
Yeah.
All right, bye, guys.
Bye, Kirk.
Bye,
Kirk.
From executive producers Maria Menounos, Kevin Undergaro, Phil Svitek, and the entire AfterBuzz TV staff, we would like to thank you for listening to the AfterBuzz TV Network. To watch or listen to other after shows and post comments or questions, be sure to visit AfterBuzzTV.com. I'm Sir Richard Wentworth, and this has been a presentation of AfterBuzz TV.
Buzz you later.
The views expressed herein are those of the hosts only and do not necessarily reflect the views of AfterBuzz TV or its owners or principals.